Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Monster Blood 3 by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. God damn, a lot's been going on. I don't know what I got into last time, but Connie was in a car accident in my car, and now my car's totaled, so I finally just got the check today after two, 3 weeks, maybe? Dear God, when was the last time I recorded? And I need to get a new car. I don't know how to go about doing that. I don't know how real people live life. I don't have much money. So, at first I was like, okay, I'm gonna get a car loan, and I'm gonna get like a 2009, 2010 Honda CRV, and I'm gonna do payments every month. And I remembered that my job, I have no idea what's going on. So the point is, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't know. I feel like there's just tons of shit going on. Point is, Connie, you know, lost her job at her one shop, and then luckily, three shops just out of the blue offered. Like, hey, you want to work here? Without her actually looking for a job yet, so she just started working again. She's doing, like, walk-ins today of Pokemon tattoos, which she's stoked on because she's super into the Pokemon Go. And, yeah, I don't know. I just had a Steel Reserve tall can, but right now I'm drinking Crystal Pepsi with Costco brand whiskey, where I was like, it's Crystal Pepsi, it's coming back, that's exciting, I'm gonna buy some, because I never had it the first time around. And then I immediately am like, I don't drink soda, like I use it as a mixer, but I don't like drink it straight. So I poured booze in it, and now I just kind of have a light whiskey colored cocktail. Point is, I ruined it, like I ruined everything else, and like I'm about to ruin, goddamn, I ruined my sentence about ruining everything. Fuck, that's accurate. Anyway, I'm about to ruin part two of Monster Blood 3 by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Chapter number 13. After school the next afternoon, Evan and Andy found Kermit behind his lab table as usual. Hi, Kermit, Evan called, tossing his backpack down and stepping up to the table. Kermit didn't glance up. He was busy stirring ingredients in a large mixing bowl, like a less racist version of Paula Deen, using a large wooden spoon. Evan peered into the bowl. It looked like pie dough in there. It was thick and gooey and yellowish. Uh-oh, someone needs some monostat. Is that what that thing is called? Forget it, keep going. Kermit hummed to himself as he stirred. Andy was wearing a sleeveless, hot pink t-shirt over bright yellow shorts and matching yellow sneakers like riffraff. She stepped up beside Evan and peeked into the bowl. Making a pie? She asked. Kermit ignored her, too. He kept stirring and humming, stirring and humming. Stir, stir, stir. Finally, he stopped and glanced up at Evan. I told my mom you lost my frisbee, he said, sneering. She says you have to get me a new one. Huh? Me? Evan cried. Andy walked around to Kermit's side of the table. She lowered her head to the bowl. Smells lemony, she said. What is it, Kermit? Is it some kind of dough? Possibly a lemon-based dough? It was your fault my frisbee got lost, Kermit told Evan, ignoring Andy's questions. Mom says you're a very bad babysitter. I have heard horrific stories about babysitters. I think that Evan's pretty fine. You know, he wasn't like molesty. He was just trying to be a supportive cousin. Are they cousins? Doesn't matter. Evan let out an angry cry. Whee! He balled his hands into fists. He struggled to keep himself from strangling Kermit. It was a real struggle. The struggle is real. Mom wanted to know who drank up all the orange soda, Kermit continued. I told her you and Andy drank it because Kel wasn't around, because Kel liked orange soda. Kermit! Evan shrieked. You played a horrible trick on us yesterday. You put chemicals in our orange soda. You made us laugh and laugh and laugh until it hurt. Then you got us in major trouble with Conan. Did I ever decide how I pronounced Conan? Was it Conan or Conan? Whatever. Did you tell your mom that? Did you? Kermit put his hands over his ears, like the monkey that hears no evil. "Don't shout, Evan," he whined as if it were an 80s song. "You know I have very sensitive ears." Another angry growl escaped Evan's throat. He felt about to explode with rage. "I told my mom that you shout at me all the time," Kermit continued like a little bitch. "Mom says you're just immature. She thinks you're very babyish. She only lets you stay with me because you're my cousin." Kermit picked up the wooden spoon and started to stir the dough mixture again. Evan spun away, trying to control his anger. Hey, Gio, why don't you control your anger? That's what I say to you. It's a personal message. "I'm glad Andy and I are going to do what we're going to do," he thought. "I'm glad we're going to give Kermit a little scare. He's been axing for it. He really has. And now he's going to get it." Evan walked over to his bakupaku, that's how to say backpack in Japan. He unzipped it and pulled out a candy bar. "Mmm, a choc-o-lick bar," he murmured. He crossed back to the lab table, unwrapping the candy bar as he walked, standing in front of Kermit. Evan took a big bite of the chocolate bar. It made a loud crunch as his teeth sank into it. "Mmm," he proclaimed like an idiot. "Choc-o-lick bars are cool." The candy bar was part of the plot. Evan knew that the chocolate bar was Kermit's favorite. It's weird that Goosebumps always references real products and real items, except for they couldn't use any candy bar. It couldn't be like a Snickers or some shit. It's just Choc-O-Lick. Choc-O-Lick. The candy bar was supposed to distract Kermit while Kermit stared at the candy and pleaded with Evan to give him a bite. Andy would slip a tiny chunk of the monster blood into Kermit's mixture. Evan crunched the candy bar loudly, making lip-smacking sounds as he chewed. Kermit glanced up. He stopped stirring the yellowish dough. "Is that really a chocolic bar?" he asked. "That's not some bootleg version that you got in AliExpress, like it's a legitimate chocolic bar?" Evan nodded. "Yep, sure is. Unlike this Supreme shirt." "My favorite," Kermit said. "I know," Evan replied. He took another crunchy bright. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Bright, bright, bright. Kermit stared at the candy bar. In certain areas of Compton, they call that a bandy bar. But, you know, not here in Bonita, California. Andy stood beside Kermit. Even saw the blue container of monster blood in her hand. Just seeing the can made Evan shiver. So many bad memories. So many nightmares. The green gunk inside the can was so dangerous. "Hi, Franklin." "Can I have a piece of the chocolate bar?" Kermit asked Evan while Dune petted Franklin. Andy lifted off the top of the monster blood container.
"Maybe. Maybe not,"
Evan told Kermit. Andy stuck two fingers in Kermit. "Oh, sorry. How'd I mess that up?" Andy stuck two fingers in the container. He pulled out a gooey green hunk of monster blood.
"Pretty please,"
Kermit begged Evan. Andy dropped the chunk of monster blood into Kermit's big bowl of dough. Then she quietly snapped the cap back on the container and slid it back into her bag. Evan took another bite of the candy bar.
"You shouldn't eat a candy bar unless you have enough to share with everyone,"
Kermit scolded like the worst kid in class. "You haven't been very nice to me," Evan told him, "so I'm not going to share." Kermit started stirring the dough again. He stared angrily at Evan as he stirred. He didn't see the green monster blood being stirred up in the yellow dough. Evan took another bite of the chocolate bar. Only a few bites left.
"I'm gonna tell Mom you were mean to me," Kermit threatened. "I'm gonna tell her that you wouldn't share."
Evan shook his head. "See what I mean? You're not nice to me, Kermit. If you were nice to me, I'd share all my candy bars with you." Andy winked at Evan. Then she peered into the bowl. Kermit stirred and stirred like a witch on meth. Andy's expression became tense. She gripped the edge of the table with both hands. Evan saw her nibble her bottom lip. Ooh, sensual. Watching Kermit stir the monster blood, Evan suddenly had a heavy feeling in his stomach. We've done it, he thought. We've opened another can of monster blood. He stared at the yellow dough in the bowl. It made a soft popping sound as Kermit pushed the wooden spoon through it. Now what? Evan wondered. Now what's going to happen? I don't know, R.L. Stein. You're the one writing the book, asshole.
Chapter 14. Yeah, this chapter's probably a freshman in high school, but it can't go to high school because it's a chapter, so it's just chapter 14.
Kermit stirred the yellow dough. The big wooden spoon scraped the bowl. The doughy mixture plopped softly like rabbit turds, tumbling and swirling as Kermit worked, whipping and flipping the mix in the kitchen. Andy kept nibbling her lower lip, her eyes locked in the bowl, her brown hair fell over her face, but she made no move to push it back like girls did in the mid-2000s when the scene movement was big. Evan watched from the other side of the table. His heart began doing flip-flops in his chest and he died. The end. Just kidding. Keep going on. He took another bite of his chocolate bar. He chewed as quietly as possible. He didn't want to disturb Kermit. As he chewed, he stared at the bowl. He and Andy were... He and Andy were waiting to see what the little hunk of monster blood would do to Kermit's mixture, waiting to see the look of horror on Kermit's face, waiting to pay him back for being such a little monster. Isn't that a Lady Gaga fan? You can't yell at people for being Lady Gaga fans. That's gay bashing. Is gay bashing still an acceptable term? I think it's just homophobia with a sprinkling of violence. Kermit didn't seem to notice how quiet it had become in the basement, till he farted. Dogface came lumbering in, panting loudly, his paws thudding on the tile floor. No one turned to look at him. The dog hiccuped, yuck, turned and padded out of the room. Evan bit off another chunk of the candy bar. Kermit stirred, humming to himself. The spoon scraped the side of the bowl. The dough slapped over the edge and spilled over. Kermit stopped stirring. Weird, he muttered. Evan's heart did a flip-flop to his throat. What's weird, he asked. It grew, Kermit replied, scratching his white blonde hair. Look! Kermit pointed to the yellow dough with the wooden spoon. It plopped over the top of the bowl. It's growing really fast, Kermit declared. Evan took a few steps closer. Andy leaned down to get a better look, and Evan got a better look at what would soon be her cleavage. The dough rose up, shimmering and quivering. Wow! Kermit cried. It wasn't supposed to do this. It was supposed to turn sticky and black, like Mexican heroin. Andy winked at Evan. Her brown eyes lit up excitedly. A smile spread across her face. The yellow blob quivered up to the top of the bowl like Robin, as big as a beach ball. How big was it going to get? Oh, wow, this is awesome, Kermit declared. The dough shimmered higher, wider. It rose up high over the bowl. It overflowed the sides, bigger, bigger. It started to look like an enormous hot air balloon. It's taller than me, Kermit declared. His voice had changed. Kermit had become a man. Oh, no, no. It just changed because he didn't sound excited anymore. He was beginning to sound frightened. We'd better stop it, I think, he murmured. How? Andy asked. She stepped out from behind the lab table and joined Evan on the other side. Andy grinned at Evan. She was enjoying the expression of fear on Kermit's face. Evan had to admit, he enjoyed that shit too. The ball of yellow dough shimmered and shook, growing bigger every second. It bubbled up faster and faster, pressing Kermit back against the basement wall. Hey, help! He sputtered. Andy's grin grew wider. He's terrified now, she whispered to Evan. Evan nodded. He knew he was supposed to enjoy this. It was supposed to be sweet, sweet revenge. But Evan was terrified too. How much bigger would the huge yellow blob grow? Could they stop it? Or would it grow and grow and grow until it filled the entire basement? Evan, help me! Kermit cried. That'd be cool if they spelled cry with a K, but they didn't, so just Kermit cried normal, even though his name starts with a K. It doesn't matter, I'm trapped back here! The dough began to shake harder. It bobbed up against the basement ceiling, which is also the kitchen floor. Evan glanced down and realized he was still holding a chunk of candy bar in his hand. The chocolate had started to melt. Evan started to pop the candy into his mouth just as the giant dough ball exploded with a deafening roar. All right, I had to take Franklin for a short walk, but I'm back to get spooky. Chapter 15. Oop! Evan swallowed hard as the doughy goop exploded. I don't have a joke on that. I'm just going to read it one more time. Evan swallowed hard as the doughy goop exploded. The force of the blast sent the candy chunk flying down his throat. He started to cough and choke with a hard splat. Globs of sticky dough hit him in the face. Ow, skeez, skeez. The yellow goo spread over his hair and covered his eyes. Oh no, Bukakin, hey! Evan choked out. He frantically wiped the dough from his eyes, blinking hard. He could taste it on his tongue. Yuck! He spit it out and rubbed the sticky stuff off his lips. Jesus Christ, Arlstein, I don't know what to do with this. I'm just gonna keep reading because it's not appropriate. Then he pulled thick wads of goo off his face. Fuck, it's hard. It stuck to my hair, Andy wailed. I am like shaking with just trying to restrain myself with the easiest, most low level, low hanging fruit jokes possible. But dear God, Arlstein, help me, help me. Kermit's cries sounded as if they were coming from far away. Evan quickly saw why. Kermit was buried under a big heap of yellow goop. Pulling dough from his hair, Evan hurried behind the lab table. He reached down with both hands and tugged Kermit up from under the dough. That's a different version of the book by Stephen King, Under the Dough. What is that, the bakery version? Oh God, I regret saying that. Sorry, I'm trying to drink water. Can't do three things at once, only two.
Wow, I'm kind of dizzy, Kermit cried. He leaned heavily against the lab table. His hands slid in the yellow goo that covered the table. I'll never get it out of my hair, Andy wailed, tugging at her hair with both hands. Stop!
Wait, where'd I get stop from?
Never, she turned to Evan. It wasn't supposed to explode, just get big. I guess something in the dough made it blow up.
Could have been the sneaky little monster blood.
Wiping dough off the front of his t-shirt, Evan gazed around the basement. The yellow dough had splattered over everything. Now it dripped down the walls, making soft, popping sounds as it hit the floor. That was an awesome explosion, Kermit declared. His eyeglasses were covered with yellow goop. He pulled them off and squinted around the room. He turned to Andy. Did you put something in that bowl?
Never mind, Andy replied, still pulling sticky globs from her hair.
Kermit tugged her arm. What was it? What did you put in my mixture?
Why do you want to know? Andy demanded. Wait. That's fucking ridiculous. If you wanted to deny something, deny it. You'd be like, why'd you steal my bike? What? Where do you think I want to take it? That's not an actual answer. Did you murder that person? Well, what were my motives? Yes, obviously. Like, Andy, I don't want to commit crimes with you. You're terrible.
So we can do that again, Kermit declared gleefully. It was awesome. No way we're doing it again, Evan moaned. Their revenge on Kermit hadn't exactly worked out.
Evan realized bitterly. Kermit should be in tears by now, or he should be quivering in fear and terror. Instead, his eyes were dancing with excitement, and he was grinning from ear to ear like the Joker. We were total jerks, Evan thought sadly. Kermit is loving this. Kermit pulled out a cloth and cleaned his glasses. What a mess, he declared, gazing around the room. Evan, you're going to be in major trouble when Mom gets home. Evan swallowed hard. He had forgotten about Kermit's mom. She had given him one last chance to prove that he was a good babysitter. Now, she was going to come home to a basement splattered with sticky, yellow goop from floor to ceiling. And Kermit was sure to tell her the whole thing was Evan's fault. Aunt Dee will tell everyone in the world why she had to take the job away from me, Evan thought unhappily. And I'll never get another babysitting job as long as I live! Dear God. You really, oh, is he 12? That's like a concern for 12-year-olds and pedophiles. Now I'll never babysit again! Bye-bye, Walkman, he thought grimly. No way he'd ever earn the money for one now. This is your fault, he snapped at Andy, pointing an accusing finger at her. A spot of yellow dough stuck to his fingernail. My fault? Andy shrieked. Rah! You're the one who wanted to teach Kermit a lesson! But you're the one who wanted to use the monster blood, Evan cried. Look at my hair, Andy wailed. It's solid goop. It looks like I'm wearing a helmet. It's ruined, ruined! She uttered an angry growl. Growl. Kermit giggled. He bent down and picked up a chunk of the sticky yellow dough. Think fast, he shouted, and heaved it at Evan. The dough ball hit the front of Evan's t-shirt and stuck there. Stop it, Kermit, he shouted angrily like a little bitch. Let's have a dough fight, Kermit suggested, grinning. He scooped up another handful of the stuff. No way, no, stop it, no, no, bruh. Evan cried. He pulled the dough ball off his t-shirt. This is dangerous, like the Michael Jackson album. We've got to clean this up, like the Propagandy album. Propagandy? Whatever. Kermit flung another big chunk of yellow goo at Evan. Evan tried to dodge out of the way, but his sneaker slipped on a big slimy puddle of goop. Isn't that it's been a while. Puddle of goop? No. I'm terrible. And he hit the floor hard. He landed on his side with an oof. Kermit let out a gleeful laugh. That was awesome, he declared. What a shot! Andy hurried over and helped tug Evan to his feet. Maybe we can vacuum it all up, she suggested. She turned to Kermit. Where does your mom keep the vacuum cleaner? Kermit shrugged. Beats me. Evan leaned against the lab table. His hand rested in a puddle of dough. But he didn't care. He suddenly felt strange. His entire body started to tingle. His stomach felt queasy. His eyes were shutting, trying to force the strange feeling away. But the tingling grew stronger. He heard a shrill whistling sound in his ears. His muscles started to ache. He could feel the blood throbbing in his temples and the big vein on his cock. Maybe we can mop it up, Evan heard Andy say, but her voice sounded tiny and far away. That chocolate bar that was covered in monster blood. He turned to see her pick up a mop and a bucket from against the basement wall. That bucket is too tiny, Evan thought. Why does Andy want to use such a tiny mop? The room tilted to the right. To the left, a big tilt sign appeared as if it were a pinball machine. Evan blinked hard, trying to straighten everything out. His whole body buzzed as if an electrical current were shooting through him. He shut his eyes and pressed both hands against his throbbing temples. Evan, are you going to help me? Andy's voice sounded so faint, so far away. Evan? He heard her call, Evan! When he opened his eyes, he saw that Andy and Kermit were staring up at him. Their expressions had changed. Their eyes bulged in fright and surprise. Their mouths were wide open.
What's going on? Evan demanded. His voice boomed throughout the basement, echoing off the concrete walls.
Andy and Kermit stared up at him. The tiny mop fell out of Andy's hand and clattered to the floor.
Such a tiny mop, Evan thought again, Shrekly, staring down at it. Such a tiny bucket.
And then he realized that Andy and Kermit were tiny too.
Oh!
A cry of surprise escaped Evan's throat.
Everyone is so small. Everyone is so tiny.
It took Evan, it's been a while, a long time to figure out what had happened. But when it finally dawned on him, he let out a shriek of horror.
Donkey!
Oh no, shit, no, fuck, god damn it, he moaned. I'm growing bigger.
And bigger!
Aw, that motherfucker done got monster blooded.
Chapter number 16.
Evan lowered his eyes to the floor. It seemed so far below.
My legs, he stammered.
Andy and Kermit still hadn't said shit. They stared up at him, their faces twisted in surprise. Evan swallowed hard.
What's going on?
He cried, not putting the whole monster blood thing and growth thing together at all because he's a fucking moron. His voice boomed through the small room.
I must be 8 feet tall.
You're a giant, Kermit declared. He stepped forward and grabbed onto Evan's knee.
Me too, okay? Okay, Evan, make me a giant too.
He begged in a weird stuttering way with lots of unnecessary punctuation.
Give me a break, Evan muttered.
He picked up Kermit easily and set him down on top of the lab table. Then Evan turned to Andy.
What am I going to do? This is terrible,
he said, breaking the fourth wall, talking about the book itself.
Not so loud, Andy pleaded, covering her ears with her hands. Please, Evan, try to whisper or something, okay?
What am I going to do? Evan repeated, ignoring her plea.
Andy forced a smile.
Try out for basketball, I guess. That's fucking helpful, okay?
Obviously, he'd rather try out for sweet, sweet wrestling. So I got super drunk the other night and remembered that Rey Mysterio, the wrestler, existed and that he was from around where I live now. And then I learned he lived like 6 miles away, and then I found his house on some, you know, celebrity house thing, and I was like, Connie, he's only like 5'4". I'm drunk. Drive me over there. I'm gonna wrestle him. I'm gonna beat Rey Mysterio.
By the way, I'm not into wrestling. I had to like Google to look at GIFs and videos of him, but I just demanded that I was going to beat Rey Mysterio at wrestling. She didn't take me. And I'm still undefeated, having never been, you know, matched up. But someday I'm going to take him down. Obviously when he's older, but I'm not that old. I don't know how it works.
Anyway, Evan balled his huge hands into huge fists.
I'm not in the mood for your sick sense of humor, Andy,
he snapped. His body started to tingle again. His muscles ached.
I'm growing even bigger, he realized.
Evan's throat suddenly felt very dry. He realized his knees were shaking. They made a loud banging sound as they hit together. Don't panic, he instructed himself like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The first rule is don't panic. The 34th rule is that if it exists, there's porn of it. But why shouldn't he panic? His head was nearly pushed up against the basement ceiling. Kermit stood on top of the lab table. His white high tops were splattered with yellow dough. They looked like little doll shoes to Evan. Make me a giant too, Kermit pleaded. Why can't I be a giant? Evan stared down at his cousin. Kermit really did look like a little white mouse now. More Hitchhiker's Guide references. Evan's body tingled harder. Dude, that shit tingled so fucking hard. The room tilted and swayed.
This is your fault, Andy, he shouted.
Andy shrank back against the wall.
Huh? My fault?
You and your monster blood, Evan thundered. I swallowed some.
Yeah. That's because your fat ass was eating chocolate bars while science experiments were exploding in the room around you. Fuck you. Andy stared up at him.
How?
When Kermit's mixture exploded, Evan replied, I was putting the candy bar in my mouth because that was an opportune time to eat because the dough exploded. I started to choke. The dough hit me in the face. I remembered I tasted it. It was on my lips and
it had monster blood on it.
Andy finished his sentence, her face filled with horror. Oh, Evan, I'm sorry, I really am. By the way, speaking of eating a lot and being fat, I read an article that was about a dude who lost like 300 pounds by not having food in his house and walking the mile to Walmart and back and getting healthy choices, obviously. Every time he wanted a meal, so he'd do it 3 times a day, which did he work? They didn't go into that. But they were talking about his diet prior to losing all the weight and now what he eats, which is like chicken breast and like 8 almonds. But before they're going through it, it's like box of cereal, 12-inch Subway sandwich, fucking all this shit. But one of the things they said on his like average day eating was 100 chicken McNuggets, which for years I've been telling people, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna have the ultimate contest and eat 100 chicken nuggets in one sitting. It's gonna blow your mind, haha. And now that I realize this fat fuck just ate 100 chicken nuggets on the reg, I don't want to do it anymore. Like, it's not even like I'm afraid of becoming like whatever giant size he was. It's just that, if fat people just do that all the time, it's not a huge accomplishment. Like, I understand, like, running a 5K or a half mile or a marathon or a marathon's big and people do it all the time, but, like, it doesn't go the same with unhealthy, stupid shit. Like, if fat people are just eating 100 chicken nuggets after eating a box of cereal and a Subway sandwich and a dozen donuts, like, fuck it. It's not cool. Point is, I was really excited to do that. Now I don't care. But then her face brightened. The monster blood splashed on your clothes, too. That was lucky. They're growing with you. Evan let out an exasperated sigh.
Lucky? He cried. You call this luck? What if I keep growing and never stop?
Kermit remained standing on the lab table. He stared at Evan. You mean, if I eat some of the dough, I'll turn into a giant, too? He bent down and scooped up a handful of dough.
Don't you dare. It says don't you dare, but that fucking didn't work out.
Evan screamed. He leaned over and flicked the dough out of Kermit's hand with 2 fingers. Then he hovered over Kermit, glaring at him menacingly.
I can squash you, Kermit. I really can, Evan warned.
Okay, Kermit muttered, his voice trembling. He slid off the table and stepped behind Andy. Wow, Evan thought. I actually have Kermit afraid of me. That's a first. Maybe growing so big isn't so bad. His body tingled and vibrated. The whistling in his ears grew louder. He could feel himself grow some more. He turned to see Dogface pad into the room. The big sheepdog looked like a tiny poodle.
Franklin, you don't even look like a poodle. You're so tiny. I love you. I love you, Franklin. You're so cute. You're old. He's a senior dog. That's crazy.
The dog hiccuped. It sniffed a yellow puddle of dough on the floor. No, Evan cried. Don't eat that, dog face. No. He bent over and picked up the sheepdog. Seeing a giant human lift him up easily off the floor, Dogface let out a yelp. 0 stars. Would not recommend being picked up.
I think I did that the last one, too. It's not a good joke.
Of terror. All 4 legs thrashed the air as the frightened dog struggled to break free.
By the way, all 4 legs thrashing the air sounds like when you put a dog down over water and they start swimming before they touch down. It's the cutest fucking thing ever. Frank, I'm going to fill up the bath and do that to you right now just because I'm an asshole.
But Evan cradled the sheepdog in one arm and held him tightly. Then he realized he couldn't escape from the giant. The dog's terrified yelps turned to quiet whimpers. Take Dogface out of here. Lock him outside, Evan ordered Kermit. He lowered the whimpering dog to the floor. Kermit obediently led the dog away. Halfway to the stairs, he turned back to Evan. Hey, you cured Dogface's hiccups.
I guess I scared them out of him, Evan told himself. Hilarious.
Kermit led Dogface up the stairs. Evan turned to Andy. I told you to leave
the monster blood in the closet, he cried. Now look at me.
He had to duck his head, otherwise it would brush against the ceiling. Who told you to eat the stuff? Andy replied. Why did you have to be eating the candy bar, you fat shit?
It was part of the plan, remember?
Evan snapped angrily. That didn't sound angry. He uttered a bitter sigh.
Oh, great plan we had.
Did I just make him into an ent? Is that what that voice is? I guess it didn't work out too well, Andy admitted.
I guess it didn't, Evan muttered. Now, what will happen to me? What will Mom and Dad say?
What will you eat? Andy added. You'll probably have to eat 16 meals a day. And where will you sleep? And how can you go to school? There aren't any desks big enough for you. And what will you wear? They'll have to make your t-shirts out of bedsheets. Ooh, I have those bedsheets made out of t-shirts, which is reversed, but they're very enjoyable, and I thoroughly suggest them to you.
You're not cheering me up, Evan murmured, like the entire world revolved around his giant ass.
He felt his body tingle again. He could feel his skin stretching, feel all his muscles throb, especially one wink wink, ow. He cried out as the top of his head banged against the ceiling. He had to lean over to rub his head. Evan, you're growing, Andy exclaimed, apparently having not read the previous chapters.
I know,
Evan grumbled. The basement ceiling was at least 9 feet high. Evan had to stoop to keep from banging the ceiling. That meant he was more than 9 feet tall. A shiver of fear shook his body. He glanced around the basement.
I have to get out of here, he cried.
Kermit returned to the room. He stopped and gawked at Evan. You grew even more, he cried. I'll bet you weigh 300 pounds, you fat shit. That's why you eat so many chocolate bars.
I don't have time to weigh myself,
Evan replied, as if he worked some sort of office job and then got home and had fast food and was sad and played World of Warcraft and claimed he didn't have time to weigh himself or take care of himself, but he really did. It was just depression.
I have to get out of here. I'm so big. I can't stand up. I'm so big.
He stopped. He felt himself grow a little more.
I'm too big now, he cried. I'm trapped down here. There's no way I can get out. Boo-hoo.
Chapter. Shout out to Nina, who is listening to the first part of this at a pub in London, but I don't know where she's gonna listen to the second part because I'm not a fucking fortune teller. 17. Stay calm. Andy called up to him. Calm? How can I stay calm? Evan shrieked. Oh yeah, wait, I forgot his voice got all deep.
Calm? How can I stay calm? Evan shrieked. I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this basement. I'm too big for the stairs.
Mom won't like that, Kermit said, shaking his head. Until he was dead and the floor was red. That's because he bled. Rhymes. Try the stairs, Andy cried. Maybe you can squeeze up if you hurry. Evan turned to the basement stairs.
I don't think I'll fit, he stammered.
The stairway appeared very narrow, and Evan was now very wide. Come on, Andy urged. We'll help you.
You
push and I'll pull, Kermit said, running to the stairs. Evan lumbered toward the stairs. His sneakers thudded heavily on the tile floor. He stooped his shoulders to keep his head from crashing against the ceiling. Which, by the way, I would just like to point out how stupid the explanation of the clothes was, where he said, like, he swallowed monster blood, but don't worry, you got in your clothes, too, because they grew up to your 9 foot height. But the monster blood got in their clothes, too, and their clothes aren't, like, turning into blankets and they're running around naked. What kind of bullshit is that, R.L. Stein?
Dear R.L. Stein, I found a scientific inaccuracy in Monster Blood 3, 20-something years after the release.
Try not to grow any bigger, Andy called, following closely behind him.
Great advice. Evan replied sarcastically.
Do you have any more advice like that?
Yeah, don't be such a fucking asshole, Andy scolded. I'm only trying to help you.
You already helped me more than enough.
Evan grumbled like a fucking asshole, dear God. He felt his body start to tingle, his muscles started to throb.
No, please no.
He uttered a silent plea.
I don't want to grow anymore.
He sucked in a deep breath and held it. He shut his eyes tight and tried to concentrate. Concentrate on not growing. I think I just saw you grow another few inches, Andy called to him. You'd better hurry, Evan. How big is Evan going to get? Kermit asked. He had climbed halfway up the stairs. Is he going to get bigger than an elephant? That's not helpful,
That's not helpful, Kermit, Evan muttered unhappily. Please stop asking questions like that, okay?
If you get as big as an elephant, will you give me a ride? Kermit demanded, asking the hard question. Sorry, axing. Evan glared angrily at his cousin.
Do you know what elephants do to mice?
He bellowed. Don't they run away in fear? If I know anything about anything? Evan raised one foot and brought it down with a crushing thud to demonstrate to Kermit what elephants do to mice. Kermit swallowed hard and didn't say shit. Evan walked over to the stairway. He glanced up at the stairs.
I don't think I can make it, he told Andy. I'm too big.
Give it a try, she urged. You've got to, Evan. Who are you, Jonah Falcon? Is that the guy's name? Let me Google that. Yeah, Jonah Falcon, that is correct. Because she was like, you know, he was like, I don't think I can make it, it's too big. And she's like, give it a try, you've got to. And then you can Google Jonah Falcon if you'd like to. But that joke worked. Goddamn, I apologize for ruining the momentum. Evan stepped on the first step and admitted he had a problem. Leaned low, he raised himself to the next step. I forget what step two of A is. Well, I didn't know. You're doing it, Kermit replied happily. He stayed at the top of the stairs, watching Evan progress eagerly. Like how just mentioning AA make me reach for my cocktail. Evan took another step. The wooden stairs creaked under his weight. He tried to lean on the banister, but it snapped beneath his hand. He climbed two more steps. He was a third of the way up when he became stuck. His body was too wide for the narrow stairway. Kermit pulled both of Evan's hands. Andy pushed him from behind, but they couldn't budge him.
I can't move,
Evan stammered. He felt panic choke his throat. Wasn't that like a band in like the mid-90s when they signed to MySpace Records? Panic choke his throat? Yeah? Didn't they... They tour with Blood on the Dance Floor or some other bullshit. I'm kidding. I'm having fun with y'all. I'm just doing stuff, you know?
I'm jammed tight here. There's no way I'll ever get out.
Then he felt his body start to tingle, and he knew he was growing even more. Chapter 18! It's confused about being Chapter 18! As Evan grew, he heard a cracking sound. Soft at first, then louder, very close by. He cried out as the wall to his left crumbled. His expanding body had broken the wall away. As the wall cracked and fell, Evan took a deep breath and lurched up the stairs.
Made it!
He cried as he squeezed through the doorway. A few seconds later, he burst out through the kitchen door into the sunlit backyard. Dogface lay stretched out near the fence. The dog jumped to his feet as the gigantic Evan appeared. Frightened, Dogface gave a loud bark, his stubby tail wagging furiously, then turned and bolted from the yard. Yeah, that's some payback for all the humans that were scared by Clifford the dog, bitch. Kermit and Andy followed Evan into the backyard, cheering and shouting, "You made it! You're free!" Evan turned to face them. But now what?
But now what? He asked. Now what do I do? I'm nearly as tall as the garage. How tall am I going to grow?
Kermit stepped closer to Evan. Look, I'm standing in your shade, he declared. Evan's shadow fell across the yard, like the shadow of a tree trunk, or really anything else large. It's just a big shadow, R.L. Stine was saying, you know, it could be anything. It's just a big-ass shadow.
Kermit, give me a break, Evan muttered. I have a little bit of a problem here, you know.
Maybe we should get you to a doctor.
Andy suggested what? A witch doctor? You know what he's going to tell him to do? Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang! A doctor? Evan cried. What can a doctor do for me? Put you on a diet, Andy joked.
Evan leaned over her, squinting down at her menacingly, and ate her.
The end again. Just kidding again. Ha ha, Dune rules. Andy, I'm warning you, one more bad joke and okay, okay.
Andy raised her hands as if trying to shield herself from him. Sorry, just trying to keep it light.
Evan isn't light, he's heavy,
Kermit chimed in, his idea of a joke. Evan let out an unhappy growl.
I don't think a doctor can help me. I mean, I couldn't fit into a doctor's office.
But maybe if we brought the can of monster blood along, the doctor could figure out the antidote. What kind of genius science doctor they have? Andy suggested some kind of cure.
Show me, show me, show me the cure.
Because there's a band, forget it.
Evan started to reply, but shrill voices on the other side of the tall wooden fence at the back of the yard made him stop.
Cut it out, Conan, a girl pleaded for some reason in Evan's voice.
Yeah, leave us alone, Conan,
Evan heard a boy shout. Evan lumbered over the fence and peered into Conan's yard. He saw Conan Barber furiously swinging a baseball bat, swinging it hard, forcing a little boy and girl to back up against the fence. What a dick.
I thought he was just like a normal bully. He's not like a swinging bats at children's heads bully. He needs to be taken care of, just like this cocktail I'm about to take care of.
Let us go,
the little girl screamed.
Why are you so mean?
I don't know, probably because of him having horrible trauma and you not knowing how to process it, so he's taking it out on you, I'm just assuming.
Conan swung the bat, bringing it close to the boy and girl, making them cry out. Evan leaned over the fence. His broad shadow fell over Conan.
Wanna play ball with me, Conan? Evan thundered.
The two little kids spun around. They stared up at the enormous Evan.
Ooh, that's a good sideshow name.
It took them a long time to realize that they were staring at a real giant human. They began to scream. Ah!
For some reason, I had to do that Home Alone face scream with my hands. It didn't add anything to the story.
Conan's mouth dropped open, and a strangled gurgle escaped his throat.
Apparently that's what they sound like.
Hey, Conan, how about a little batting practice?
Evan asked, his voice booming over the backyard. I like how quickly he goes from, I'm gonna die, to, hey, now that I have the slightest bit of power, I'm gonna be a huge asshole. Evan reached over the fence and plucked the bat from Conan's hand. The little boy and girl ran away screaming. They darted through the hedge at the side of Conan's yard and kept running until they vanished from view. Evan took the bat and snapped it in two between his hands. It cracked apart like a toothpick. Conan froze in place, staring up at Evan in disbelief.
I don't believe!
He pointed a trembling finger.
Evan, you,
stammered. Evan tossed the two bits of the cracked bat at Conan's feet, forcing Conan to hop out of the way. Just a jump to the left and then a slide to the right.
You ate monster blood, Conan accused.
That sticky green stuff, the stuff that Cuddles the hamster ate last year. You ate some, didn't you? Evan didn't want to be reminded of Cuddles the hamster. The little creature had turned into a huge, vicious beast after eating monster blood. It was so vicious that Taco Bell even made a toy of it that Dune had as a kid that turned inside out for some reason, and it wasn't that cool, but I still remember it because you only have so many toys as a kid, and you play with them all the time, you know, unless you have like an iPad or a phone, and then you do a bunch of shit and you don't have any memories, and you don't really latch on to one thing, just like my nephews that are all like, oh, I'm into this, I'm into that, I'm into this, I'm into that, when my entire childhood was like, I'm into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and X-Men, and that's it. Now I'm into punk music, and now I'm an adult. Cuddles had returned to hamster size only because the monster blood was old and stale, but the monster blood Evan had swallowed was new and fresh. Now I'm a huge, vicious beast, Evan thought sadly.
Are you crazy? Are you totally messed up? Why did you eat monster blood? Conan demanded.
It was an accident, Evan told him.
Conan continued to stare up at Evan, but his fearful expression faded. Conan suddenly started to laugh.
I'm glad it happened to you and not me, he exclaimed.
Huh? Why? Evan demanded.
Because I'm afraid of heights,
Conan replied. He laughed again.
I always thought you were a nerd, Evan, Conan declared. But now, you're a big nerd! Shut up about watching fucking Doctor Who and stuff. No one cares about your nerd shit, loser. Fucking go back to Comic-Con, which Dune didn't go to.
Evan let out an angry growl and lurched forward. He tried to climb over the fence, but he didn't step high enough. Conan's fence splintered beneath Evan's heavy sneaker. Hey, Conan cried in alarm. Wee-oo, wee-oo. That's an alarm sound, in case you didn't know. He tried to turn and run, but Evan was too fast for him. Evan grabbed Conan under the shoulders and lifted him off the ground as if he weighed nothing, as if he were R. Kelly in a cornfield believing he could fly. Let go of me, Conan screamed. He kicked his arms and legs like a baby.
I never knew you were afraid of heights, Evan said, holding Conan in both hands.
He raised him high in the air.
Let me go, Conan cried. What are you gonna do?
Let's see how far... That's not what it says at all. Let's have a sip of water, because doing that voice of Conan hurts my throat.
Let's see if you know how to fly, Evan exclaimed.
No!
Conan's shrill cry rose up over the yard. He kicked and thrashed as Evan raised him even higher.
Put me down! Put me down!
Okay, Evan agreed. I'll put you down.
He set Conan down on a high tree branch, and Conan fell down and broke his neck and sued Evan's family and won, and they were destitute. The end again. Just kidding, it's never the end, baby! Conan clung to the trunk of the tree for dear life, trembling and crying.
Evan, don't leave me up here, please. I told you I'm afraid of heights. Evan, come back, Evan!
A huge grin on his face, Evan turned away from Conan.
That was a lot of fun, he called down to his friends.
Conan continued to weep and wail in the tree. Evan took a few steps toward the front yard.
That was excellent.
See, normally I say excellent in the Bill and Ted way, and I do a sick guitar, so win, 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 win. But since he's big, I did a bass little thing. That's just how tricky I am, Evan said, still grinning.
Excellent.
Where are you going?
He heard Andy call up to him.
Yeah, what are you going to do now? Kermit asked eagerly.
This is kind of cool, Evan declared. Having his revenge on Conan had put him in a better mood.
Let's go see if we can have more fun.
Yay! Kermit cried, because he's a terrible person. Now Evan is one too, because he got a little bit of power, and that's how life goes, racing to keep up with Evan. Evan ducked his head to keep from banging it on a low tree branch. He took several big steps toward the street.
Oh!
He stopped and cried out when he felt himself step on something. He heard a cracking, then a crunch beneath his enormous sneaker. He turned to see Kermit raise both hands to his face.
Oh, no! Kermit shrieked. You squashed Andy, Evan! You squashed Andy!
It's probably not true, but we'll see what happens in Chapter 19, won't we?
Chapter 19!
Evan gasped and jerked up his foot. Kermit let out a high-pitched laugh.
Gotcha, Evan.
Andy came running over from the driveway.
That isn't funny, she scolded Kermit.
That was a really dumb joke, Kermit. You scared Evan to death. See, I was right. It wasn't real. I don't like those trick endings where it's just like, nah, I'm just bullshitting you, but I know I explain it each time it happens. I'm just saying it's bullshit. I'm gonna keep going on.
I know, Kermit laughed,
very pleased with himself. Evan let out a sigh of relief. He bent down to see what he had stepped on. Conan's skateboard. It lay crushed and splintered, flat on the grass. He turned angrily to Kermit.
No more stupid jokes, he thundered. or I'll put you up in the tree with Conan, and then you and Conan will be sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N.
Putting your fingers in each other's butts.
Zigzag. Okay, okay, Kermit mumbled. You think you're tough just because you're so big.
Evan held up a pointer finger.
Careful, Kermit, he warned. I could knock you over with one finger.
Conan is still yelling for help back there, Andy reported.
Evan smiled.
Let's see who's hanging around the playground. Maybe we can surprise some other kids.
What a douche. Any small amount of power, or I guess in this case, a, you know, overwhelmingly large amount of power, and he's just an asshole right away.
I'm a timid little guy, and everyone picks on me, and
now I'm big, and I didn't learn anything from being picked on.
Fuck that, dude.
Evan crossed the street, taking long, heavy strides. He felt as if he were walking on stilts.
This is kind of cool, he told himself.
I'm the biggest person in the world, bigger than Shaq. No, no one's bigger than Shaq, Macquarie says.
He passed by the neighbor's basketball hoop, which stood on a pole at the curb.
Hey, I'm at least 6 feet taller than the basket, he realized.
Hey, wait up. Andy called breathlessly. Don't walk so fast.
I can't help it, Evan called back.
A small blue car rolled by, then squealed to a stop. Evan could see a woman and two kids in the car. They were staring at him.
Damn, they wished that they had a cell phone camera, but it was the 90s, and they wanted to post on a Worldstar, but Worldstar didn't exist yet. Oh my god, how did they get information?
She braked her bike hard.
Wait, what? Oh, I skipped some shit.
A little girl on a bike turned the corner. She started pedaling toward Evan. He saw the look of surprise on her face when she spotted him. She braked her bike hard, nearly toppling over the handlebars. Then she wheeled around and sped out of sight. Evan laughed. Another car screeched to a halt. As he started to cross the street, Evan turned to see who was in the car. He didn't watch where he was going. A loud crunch made him stop.
Oh no! He stepped on a crunchberry bush.
With a gasp, he peered down and saw that he had stepped on a car.
Oh no!
Evan cried. His sneaker had crushed in the top of the car, as if it were made of tin foil, or aluminum foil, or if you're in England, aluminium foil?
That's stupid. You guys are stupid. Dune rules. America!
Evan backed away in horror. Was someone inside? He dropped to his knees to stare in the window. Thank goodness!
Thank goodness!
He cried when he saw that the car was empty.
It just fucked up their insurance and they had to be like, yeah, no, a giant stepped on it. And the insurance never believed that. And they dropped them and they got in an accident once they were dropped from their insurance trying to get to work to pay for their new insurance. And then they went to jail. And in jail, they had to join a white supremacist gang and they killed someone and now they're in for life.
Really sad. Nice move, Evan. Wow! Kermit exclaimed, walking around and around the smashed-in car. You must weigh at least a ton, Evan.
Andy stepped up beside Evan, who remained on his knees.
Be careful, she warned. You've got to watch every step. Like you're that weird religion that possibly is in India where they brush away bugs with a broom because they don't want to kill anything and they don't eat plants that can't replenish themselves, that are way better people than Dune, who's just like, yeah, I'll have some ribs. Ribs are good.
Evan nodded in agreement. At least I think I've done... Stop.
I'm going to have a sip of my cocktail and get my head together.
At least I think I've stopped growing, he called down to her.
As they reached the playground, Evan saw several kids shouting and pointing excitedly at a tall maple tree on the corner.
What's going on? Evan wondered in a deep voice, apparently.
As he lumbered closer, lumbered because he's like a tree, I get that, RL, he saw the problem. Their yellow kite had become stuck up in the tree.
Hey, no problemo!
Evan boomed. The kids screamed and cried out in surprise as Evan stepped up to them. They all backed away, their faces tight with fear, as if they just had one of those Airheads candies that are all sour and their face all went meh. Evan reached up easily and tugged the kite loose from the tree limb. Then he leaned down and gently handed it to the nearest kid. Hey, thanks! A grin spread across the kid's freckled face. The other kids all cheered. Evan took a bow. Andy laughed. You need a red cape and a pair of blue tights, she shouted up to him. It's Super Evan!
Super Evan! The kids shouted as they ran off happily with their kite.
I don't think the person that owned the car that he just fucked up for no reason was calling him Super Evan. They were calling him Evan the Vandal who made it so I can't go to my job and support my family. I'm really sensitive about car issues right now.
Evan leaned down to talk to Andy.
If I stay big like this, do you think I really could get a job as a superhero?
I don't think it pays very well, Kermit chimed in. In the comic books, you never see those guys getting paid.
They crossed the street and headed toward the playground. Evan glanced at the red brick school building on the corner. It's so small, he thought. He suddenly realized that he stood at least 2 stories tall. That's 20 feet, motherfuckers! Or, if you're on the metric system,
20 feet in meters. What is that? Like... I don't know.
6.096 meters. The only way I know meters as heights for people is when I was a kid and I would get Star Wars action figures and they had a card in it and it's like Han Solo's height, like 1.96 meters or something like that. And I'm like, all right, so he's around 6 feet. That makes sense. Just saying. Wait, how much is 6 feet in meters?
1.8288,
so I guess Han Solo is shorter than that. Still, that's how much I am in meters. 1.8288 meters, because old Drunkle Stiltskin's 6 feet tall. That doesn't matter. Evan glanced at the red brick school building on the corner. It's so small, he thought. He suddenly realized he stood 2 stories tall. This somehow got into a diatribe about meters. If I walk over there, I can see into the second floor classrooms, he thought. That's probably where the girls shower. How will I go to school? Evan wondered. I can't squeeze through the door. I won't fit in Miss McGrady's room anymore. Feeling a wave of sadness roll over him, he turned away from the school building. He heard cheers and shouts. A softball game was underway on the practice diamond. Evan recognized Billy Denver and Brian Johnson and some other kids. He always had to beg to play softball with them. They never wanted Evan on their team because he wasn't a very good hitter.
Well, how could he be a good hitter now? His strike zone, based on his height, would be, like, enormous. Plus, he's still uncoordinated in a douche nozzle.
He strolled over the grass to the practice diamond. Andy and Kermit ran behind him, struggling to keep up. Brian was starting to pitch the ball because he's a pitcher, which means he's a top, but he stopped short when he spotted Evan. The ball dropped from his hand and dribbled to the ground. Players on both teams gasped and shouted. Evan strode up to Brian on the pitcher's mound. Brian's eyes bulged in fear as Evan drew near.
He was such a queer, did you hear?
Brian raised his hands to shield himself.
Don't hurt me, he pleaded.
Hey, it's Evan, Billy exclaimed. Look, guys, it's Evan. Kids from both teams gathered around in the Gay Straight Alliance meeting. Just kidding, they're playing softball, and it meant both softball teams. I know what's going on. Murmuring excitedly, nervously, Brian slowly lowered his hands and stared up at the giant Evan. Wow, it really is you. Evan, how did you do that?
What happened to you?
Another kid cried.
He's been working out, Andy told them. The kids laughed. Very tense laughter. Andy always has a joke for everything, Evan thought. But when Andy gets in a relationship, she needs to learn that the other person doesn't want to hear a joke all the time, as Dune has learned. Because even when things are uncomfortable and horrible, if there's a good joke, he'll make it. And he's been told numerous times to stop doing that because it's not always appropriate. You know what I'm saying? I know what I'm saying. I'm just trying to find where I was on the page.
Wanna play? Brian asked. You can be on my team.
No, my team, Billy insisted.
No way, he's on my team, Brian shouted. We're one man short, remember?
Don't say short around Evan, Andy joked. Everyone laughed again. Billy and Brian continued to fight over which team would get Evan. Evan stood back and enjoyed the argument. He picked up a wooden bat. It had always seemed so heavy before. Now it felt light as a pencil.
Billy won the argument.
You can bat now, Evan,
he said, grinning up at him.
How can I pitch to him? He's a giant,
Brian complained. That's what they call him, complaining Brian, you know.
Pitch it really high,
Evan suggested.
Evan, do your mom and dad know you grew like this?
Billy asked, walking to home plate beside Evan. Evan swallowed hard. He hadn't thought about his parents because he's a selfish child. They'd be getting home from work soon. They weren't going to be happy about this.
How would he break the news to them?
He wondered.
And then he thought, I won't have to break the news to them. They'll see for themselves what has happened.
He stepped up to the plate and swung the bat on his shoulder.
Wish we had a bigger bat, he muttered.
It was a little larger than a drinking straw.
Get a hit,
Billy shouted from behind the backstop.
Get a hit, Evan,
several other players called like unoriginal idiots.
Brian's first pitch sailed past Evan's ankles.
Higher, Evan called out to him. You'll have to throw it higher.
God. You know, people that are slightly abnormal are always trying to get everyone else to change the rules for them instead of accommodating to everyone else, okay? Maybe you're the different one. And the world shouldn't have to change everything around just for you, jabroni.
I'm trying,
Brian grumbled like Brian Gumble.
He pulled the softball back and tossed it again. This time, the pitch flew past Evan's knees.
It's hard to throw that high, Brian complained. This isn't fair.
Strike him out, Brian,
the first baseman called to him.
You can do it. Evan always strikes out.
It's true, Evan thought unhappily. I do usually strike out. He gripped the bat a little tighter. Poising it over his shoulder, he suddenly wondered if being so big would make a difference. Maybe he'd just strike out bigger. Brian's next pitch sailed higher. Evan swung hard. The bat hit the softball with a deafening thwack and cracked in two.
Franklin, I apologize for yelling thwack, okay? I know that bothered you. I won't do it again. You know, unless there's another baseball scene in the book. Or this one continues. We'll find out, won't we, Franklin? I love you.
The ball sailed up, 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 off the playground, over the school, and out of sight somewhere in the next block. Cheers and cries of amazement rang out over the diamond. Evan watched the ball fly out of sight. Then he leaped joyfully in the air and began running the bases. The longest home run in the history of the world. It only took four steps between the bases. He had just rounded second base when he heard the sirens.
Oh no. Was the girl he was rounding second base with underage? Just kidding, y'all. That was a joke.
Evan turned his eyes to the street in time to see two fire trucks squeal around the corner. The trucks pulled right up onto the playground grass and came roaring toward the softball diamond, sirens blaring. Evan stopped at third base because he's a gentleman. The sirens cut off as the two fire engines skidded to a halt along the first base line. Evan's mouth dropped open as Conan Barber leaped out of the first truck. Several black uniformed firefighters dropped to the ground behind Conan.
There he is!
Conan cried.
Cried?
Conan cried, pointing furiously at Evan.
That's him! Get him!
I don't know if firefighters are allowed to arrest people, especially children, but guess we'll find out in chapter number 20.
Chapter number 20, damn, it's only 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and I'm already fucked up. This is not gonna fare well for the weekend, but it will fare well for chapter number 20.
Grim-faced firefighters began hoisting heavy fire hoses off the trucks. Others moved toward Evan, hatchets clutched menacingly in their hands like juggalos.
That's him,
Conan shrieked. He's the one who put me in the tree and wrecked my parents' fence.
Huh?
Still standing on third base, Evan froze in shock. Was this really happening? The playground rang out with shouts of surprise. But the voices were drowned out by more sirens. Evan saw flashing red lights, and then two black and white police cars roared over the grass, screeching up behind the fire engines.
Okay, these jabronis, they do have the capability to arrest him. You're right. All right. Sorry. Sorry for judging. But, you know, giant lives matter. You can't just kill a kid. A man and a woman came running behind the police cars. "That's the one," they called breathlessly, pointing to Evan. "That's the one who crushed the car. We saw him do it." Ooh, they have the right to be angry. The firefighters were busily connecting the hoses to the hydrants at the curb. Blue uniform police swarmed on the field. The kids on the two softball teams huddled together on the pitcher's mound. They all seemed dazed and frightened as if they had used marijuana, the drug.
"He tried to kill me,"
Conan was shouting to a woman police officer like a little snitch.
"That giant put me in a tree and left me there."
"He crushed my car,"
a woman screamed. Evan hadn't moved from third base. He gazed past the fire engines to Andy and Kermit. They stood near the backstop. Kermit had to the dumb, toothy grin on his face. Andy had her hands cupped around her mouth. She was shouting something to Evan, but he couldn't hear over the wail of the sirens, the excited shouts and cries of everyone on the playground. "Woo! Yeah! Woo! Woo! Yeah! All right! Woo! Yeah! All right! Do woo! Woo! All right! That's what we're doing. We're making sounds now. Woo! All right!" Some of the police and fire officers huddled together, talking rapidly. They kept glancing up at Evan as they talked. "What are they going to do to me?" Evan wondered, frozen in fear. "Should I run? Should I try to explain?" More people came hurrying across the playground. As soon as they spotted Evan, their expressions turned to surprise and amazement. "They're all staring at me," Evan realized. "They're pointing at me, as if I'm some kind of freak. Oh no, I'm not Chris Angel, I'm just a kid." "I am some kind of freak," he admitted to himself, looking down at his uncircumcised penis. Firefighters formed a line, holding their hatchets waist high. Others readied the fire hoses, aiming them at Evan's chest as if this were a civil rights protest. Evan heard more sirens. More police cars rolled onto the playground. A young police officer with wavy red hair and a red mustache stepped up at All right, I need a drink. A young police officer with wavy red hair and a red mustache stepped up to Evan. "What is your name?" he shouted, speaking each word slowly, as if maybe Evan didn't speak English.
Evan? Evan Ross?"
Evan called down.
"Do you come from another planet?"
the officer shouted.
"Huh?"
Evan couldn't help himself. He burst out laughing.
"Ho, ho, ho!"
He heard some of the softball players laughing, too.
"I
live in Atlanta, like Gucci Mane," he shouted down to the officer. "Around the corner, on Brookridge Drive."
Several officers and firefighters held their ears. Evan's voice came out louder than he had planned. Evan took a step toward them. The firefighters raised a fire hose. Several others readied their hatchets.
"He's dangerous,"
Evan heard Conan shout.
"Watch out, he's really dangerous."
That got everyone shouting and screaming.
"Shout! Scream!
Shout!
Scream!"
The playground was filled with people, neighborhood people, kids and their parents. Cars stopped and people climbed out to see why the crowd had gathered. More police cars bumped over the grass. Their wailing sirens added to the deafening noise, the shouts and cries, the frightening murmurs.
"Look how big that motherfucker is. I agree, he is large. Okay, we both agree. Yes, we do. All right."
That was their murmurs. The noise, the staring eyes, the pointing fingers. It all started to make Evan dizzy. He felt his legs tremble. His forehead throbbed. The police had formed a line. They started to circle Evan. As they closed in, Evan felt himself explode.
"I can't take it anymore,"
he screamed, raising his fists like he was some sort of mascot for Rage Against the Machine.
"Stop it! Stop it! All of you, get away! Leave me alone! I mean it!"
Silence as their sirens cut off. The voices hushed, and then Evan heard the red-haired police officer shout to the others,
"He's turned violent! We have to bring him down!"
Chapter number 21.
Evan didn't have time to be frightened. The fire hoses chugged and gurgled and shot out thick streams of water. Evan ducked low, dove forward, tried to get away from the roaring water. The force of the water stream ripped to the ground to his side and shit. Evan dodged to the other side. Wow, that's powerful, he thought, horrified. The water is strong enough to knock me over.
Yeah, a lot of African Americans know this, okay, Evan? I'm glad you're getting a history lesson right now.
Frightened shouts rose up over the roar of the water. Evan plunged through the line of dark uniformed police officers and kept running.
Don't shoot, he screamed. Don't shoot me. I'm not from another planet. I'm just a boy.
He didn't know if they could hear him or not. He dodged past startled onlookers. A long hook and ladder stood in his path. He stopped. Glanced back. Did blue steel. Firefighters were turning the hoses. The powerful spray arced high. Water crashed to the ground just behind Evan. Loud as thunder, but like water version of thunder, because thunder and water don't mix. I learned that from Pokemon. Kids and parents were running in all directions. Frantic, frightened expressions locked in their faces. Evan took a deep breath, bent his knees, and leaped over the fire truck in his path. He heard shouts of surprise behind him. He vaulted high over the truck, landed hard on the other side, stumbled, caught his balance. Then, ducking low, his arms stretched out in front of him, Evan ran. His long legs carried him away quickly.
There is like a hair from my mustache. This entire goddamn chapter has been like stabbing the inside of my nose, and I can't even like concentrate on anything. That's why I haven't been making any comments. I'm just trying to deal with this fucking hair, which I think I just ripped out of my face. Okay. No? No? Okay.
Ow. His long legs carried him away quickly. As he reached the street, a low tree branch popped up as if from nowhere. Evan dipped his head just in time. Leaves scratched over his forehead, but he kept running. Got to watch out for these tree branches, he warned himself. Gotta remember, I'm 2 stories tall.
It's 20 feet. Let me look it up in meters. Oh, wait, I already did. 6.096. That tab's still open. Don't worry about that.
Breathing hard, he plunged across the street. The late afternoon sun was lowering. Behind the trees, the shadows were longer now and darker. Evan's shadow seemed a mile long, and it stretched out in front of him.
I have my hand over my mustache as if I'm trying to make a fake Hitler mustache just so this doesn't tickle me. This is absurd. You know what? I'm going to stop this chapter because this is silly.
Okay. Hair has been taken care of, switching to beer.
He heard the rise and fall of shrill sirens behind him, heard angry shouts, heard the thud of footsteps, people running after him. Where can I hide? He asked himself. Where will I be safe? Home? No. That's the first place the police will look, because like a snitch to myself, I told them my real name. Where? It was so hard to think clearly. They were so close behind him. He knew it. Chasing him, eager to bring him down. If only he could stop somewhere, close his eyes, shut them all out, and think. Then maybe he could come up with a plan. But he knew he had to keep running. His head throbbed, his chest ached. His long legs were taking him quickly away from the playground, but still, he felt awkward with his sneakers so far below him and his head so high in the trees.
Yeah, that dude's on salvia.
I'll hide out at Kermit's house, he thought. Then he quickly decided that was a bad idea too.
I can't get in Kermit's house, he cried out loud. I'm too big. And then he had a truly frightening thought. I can't fit in any house. Where will I sleep? He wondered. And then, will they let me sleep?
Can't the police say I'm just a boy? Evan axed himself bitterly. He turned the corner and passed his house. The lights were all off. The door was closed. No car in the driveway. His parents hadn't come home from work yet. Or they had just abandoned him because who wants to be the parents of a disgusting giant boy? He kept running, running across yards, ducking low, trying to hide behind shrubs and tall hedges. Can't they see I'm a boy? Not a creature from another planet? Why do they think I'm so dangerous? Just because I put another human being high up in a tree and then stepped on a car and did a bunch of other horrible, dangerous shit and I was using monster blood carelessly just to fuck with someone? Why do they think I'm dangerous? It's all Conan's fault, Evan decided, rather than blaming himself, which is the reasonable thing to do. Conan got the firefighters and police all crazy with his wild stories. His wild true stories. And now, where can I run? Where can I hide? The answer came to him as he neared Kermit's house. Two doors down, a lot had been cleared, and an enormous stack of lumber had been piled at the back. Someone was about to build a house on the lot. Breathing hard, sweat pouring down his broad forehead, Evan turned and ran across the lot. He ducked behind the tall pile of lumber and stopped. He dropped to his knees and leaned against the lumber stack. Struggling to catch his breath, he wiped the sweat off his forehead with the sleeve of his t-shirt, which was giant because the monster blood got on it. But then again, the monster blood got on the other people's shirts, which are not two stories tall, and Dune's still angry about this scientific, you know, in what is that called? It's not consistent. Inconsistency? That's what I wanted. God damn! Maybe I'll hide here for a while, he thought. He lowered himself to a sitting position. If I sit down and hunch my shoulders, the lumber pile hides me from the street. And it's really shady and cool behind it. And I can keep an eye on Kermit's house from here. Yes, this is a good hiding spot for now, Evan decided. Then, after dark, I'll sneak over to my house and try to explain to my parents what happened. He leaned his back against the lumber pile and shut his eyes. He had just started to relax a little when he heard a voice cry, "Got him!" Oh, shit. Ooh, I'm talking about that sexy chapter 22, baby. Evan's eyes shot open. He tried to scramble to his feet, but then he saw who had shouted. "Kermit!" he cried angrily. "You scared me to death!" Kermit flashed his annoying grin. "I knew you'd hide here, Evan," he said, smirking. "I'm so smart!" That's what smart people do. They just keep yelling how smart they am. They am. Wow, clearly I'm not in that group, so I don't know what smart people do, because they keep yelling how smart they am, but old drunk will still skinny. Fucking Christ. Kermit turned and called out. "He's back here! I was right!" A few seconds later, Andy gingerly poked her head behind the stack of lumber. Her eyes studied Evan for a few seconds, then a smile crossed her face. "You're okay?" she asked softly. "I was worried."
"Yeah, I'm okay for now," Evan replied bitterly.
"The whole town is after you," Kermit exclaimed. "It's really awesome. It's like a movie."
"I don't want to be in a movie,"
Evan griped.
"This movie is too scary."
"They've got guns and everything," Kermit continued excitedly, ignoring Evan's complaint. "And did you see those fire hoses? It's amazing. It's like the devil's dong. They just spray like a motherfucker. They all want to catch you. And they think you're from outer space," Andy added, shaking her head.
"Who told them that? Conan?"
Evan asked bitterly. "Conan made them believe you're dangerous," Kermit said, grinning that grin Evan hated so much.
"I am dangerous,"
Evan declared, warning them about his HIV-positive status. He growled menacingly at Kermit. The growl shocked the grin off Kermit's face. Evan turned to Andy.
"What am I going to do? I can't run and hide for the rest of my life. They're going to catch me. If you two tracked me down, the police will track me down too."
Evan let out a long, frightened sigh. There's nowhere I can...
Oh, sorry. There's nowhere I can hide. I'm too big to hide. So what can I do? What?
Andy scratched her arm. She nodded her face up into like a knotted ass face, thinking hard. Well... And suddenly, Evan knew exactly what to do. Watching Andy, Evan knew how to solve the whole problem.
Chapter number 23.
Evan jumped to his feet. His heart began to pound. For the first time in hours, a big smile spread across his big-ass, stupid, giant face. Evan, what's wrong? Andy demanded. His sudden move had her startled.
I know what we can do, Evan declared. Everything is going to be okay,
Evan said, like a giant Gerard way. Get down, Kermit cried. I hear sirens. They'll see you. In his excitement, Evan had forgotten that he was taller than the lumber pile. He dropped back to his knees. Even on his knees, he was a lot taller than Kermit and Andy. The sirens blared louder, closer to ch. Evan gazed around. The sun had fallen behind the trees. The sky was evening gray now. The air grew cooler.
We've got to hurry, Evan told them.
He put a hand on Kermit's slender shoulder.
Kermit, you've got to help me.
Behind his glasses, Kermit's little mouse eyes bulged with excitement. Me? What can I do?
The blue mixture,
Evan said, holding on to his cousin's shoulder.
Remember the blue mixture?
Which one? The one that shrank my mosquito bite, Andy chimed in. She suddenly realized what Evan was thinking. What, to obviously use the shrinking shit on the growing shit? Obviously, jabronis.
That's right, Evan explained to Kermit. Watching Andy scratch her arm reminded me. The blue mixture of yours shrank the mosquito bite instantly.
Maybe it can shrink Evan, too, Andy exclaimed excitedly.
Just put it on everything but my dick, because I'd like it to remain huge. It's already 4 inches, because I'm so giant now.
Kermit nodded, thinking hard. Maybe it can.
I'll rub it all over my body, and I'll shrink back to my normal size,
Evan said happily. It'll work. I know it will, Andy cried enthusiastically, knowing nothing about chemistry or biology or just about fucking anything else. She let out a cheer and jumped up and down. Hurrah! Then she tugged Kermit's arm. Come on, Kermit. Hurry.
Let's go to your basement.
You still have the blue mixture, don't you? Kermit narrowed his eyes and tried to remember. I think so, he told them. A lot of stuff got wrecked, remember? But I think I have to have it. Oh, shit. Did some of the monster blood get inside of the blue mixture? That way he'll eat it and get even bigger and more monster bloody? Oh, my God. I guess we'll find out, but we need to keep reading. He has
to have it, Evan cried. He has to.
Evan climbed to his feet.
Come on, hurry.
They heard sirens, loud and near. Kermit peered around the lumber pile toward the street. A police car, he whispered. They're cruising this block. You better wait here, Andy warned Evan. Evan shook his head.
No way! I'm coming with you! I want to get that blue mixture as fast as I can!
He ducked his head. We can walk through the back...
We can walk through backyards. No one will see us.
But Evan, Andy protested. She stopped when Evan stepped away from the lumber pile and started loping quickly across the backyard towards Kermit's house. Dogface greeted them in the driveway. The sheepdog barked happily, jumping up on Kermit, nearly knocking him to the ground. Shh, quiet boy, quiet. Kermit cried, like quiet, I don't know what I was doing on that one, petting the dog, trying to stop his barks. We don't want anyone to hear us. Dogface gazed up at Evan and got very quiet. The dog slumped across the driveway. It stared up suspiciously at Evan, panting hard, its stubby tail wagging furiously. Evan's eyes darted up and down the driveway. No car.
Your mom isn't home yet, Kermit, he said like a creep.
She must be working late. Kermit replied. That's good news. This is our lucky day. Evan let out a bitter laugh.
Ho ho, for sure, lucky day, he muttered.
Why did he give his real name to the cops? Because even if he gets away with this shit and gets shrunk down, they still have it. And he told them what street he lives on. This is suspicious.
Kermit and Andy hurried to the kitchen door. Evan started to follow. Then he remembered he didn't fit in the house. Wait right here, Andy instructed him. Make sure no one sees you.
Evan nodded. Hurry, please.
He watched them disappear through the door. Then he sat down behind the house. He motioned for Dogface to come over to him. He felt like holding on to something.
Oh, we all know that feeling, you know? You just want something to hold on to you. Right, Franklin? 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 You gonna sleep through me asking you questions? I know you're used to me doing goosebumps where you sleep through it, but if I ask you a question, just look at me. That's all I ask. Whatever.
But the dog just stared back and wouldn't budge. The whole town is looking for me. Evan thought unhappily. The whole town is looking for a giant me. But they'll never find a giant me because in a few seconds, I'll shrink back to normal size. Then everything will be a-okay hokey-dokey. He raised his eyes to the house. What is keeping Andy and Kermit? He wondered. Can't they find the bottle of blue liquid? He took a deep breath.
They're just going to give him some Windex and it's going to kill him. Do you die from drinking Windex? Is it even bad?
Is Windex poison us?
What happens if you drink Windex? Answer. Older ones are considered more dangerous than other ones. Sometimes they can't contain ammonia, ethanol, methanol, and isopropyl alcohol. Blah, blah, blah. Point is, not a big deal. You can drink Windex.
Don't drink Windex.
Then everything will be okay again. He raised his eyes to the house. What is keeping them? He wondered. He can't find the bottle of blue liquid. Then Dune looked up all the Windex stuff. He took a deep breath. Don't panic. Evan, he instructed himself. They've only been in the house a few seconds. They'll be out soon, and everything will be okay. To pass the time, he slowly counted to 10. Then he counted slowly to 10 again.
I would make fun of him for this, like, frivolous attempt to spend time, but I remember all the time when I was a kid just being like,
okay, by the time I count to 10, my buddy will come out of his house and hang out with me. 1, 2.
Like, that's something, I think I've done that in the last year. I don't know why I should say as a kid.
He was about to start counting one more time when the screen door flew open. Kermit stepped out, carrying the blue beaker. Andy followed right behind.
Found it! Kermit cried happily.
Evan jumped to his knees. He reached out eagerly.
Quick, let me have it.
Kermit stretched up his hand. Evan grabbed for the glass beaker. It slipped out of his grasp. It started to fall. Oh! Evan let out a horrified moan and caught the beaker just before it crashed against the driveway. Wow, nice catch! Kermit exclaimed. Evan's heart had leaped to his mouth.
Well, that's a more of a problem than the whole gigantism thing.
He took a deep breath. How can you do that with a heart in your mouth? Idiot. He grasped the beaker tightly.
Close one, he murmured.
The beaker was so tiny in his hand, like something made for a dollhouse. They heard sirens in the distance. The search for the giant Evan was still on.
I hope this mixture works,
Evan declared, referring to Dune's crystal Pepsi and whiskey. It did. Maybe a little too well. He raised the beaker, tilted it upside down over his other hand, and waited. Finally, a tiny blue drop of liquid dripped onto Evan's palm. Nothing more. He shook the beaker hard, harder, the way he shook a ketchup bottle when the ketchup was stuck. Then he raised the beaker to his eye and peered inside. A few seconds later, he let out a long, sad sigh. He tossed the bottle disgustedly onto the grass.
It's empty, Evan reported. Totally empty.
Oh, shit. What's gonna happen? I've been recording this episode for over 4 hours and I'm going fucking insane.
Chapter 24. I knew there wasn't much left. Kermit murmured, murmuring Kermit, shaking his head. The empty bottle rolled under a shrub. Dogface walked over and sniffed it.
I'm doomed, Evan muttered.
Forgetting how strong he was, he angrily kicked a pebble down the driveway. The pebble sailed up into the air and disappeared over the house across the street. Be careful, Andy warned. You could break a window.
Who cares?
Evan snapped because he's a selfish asshole and he doesn't care about other people's belongings.
My life is ruined.
Oh, your life's ruined, so you gotta ruin everyone else's and their windows and buying things and goddamn, how am I gonna get a car?
No way, Kermit cried. You'll be okay, Evan. He started running to the house. Be right back.
Kermit, what are you doing? Evan called glumly.
Where are you going?
To mix up another batch, Kermit replied. It'll only take me a few seconds, Evan. I've got all the ingredients. Evan could feel his sadness lifting.
Do you really think you can do it?
He asked his cousin. No problemo, Kermit replied, flashing Evan a thumbs up sign.
If you know by emojis, thumbs up means all right, that's good.
I think I remember what I put in it. I'll mix up more blue shrinking stuff and be back in a jiffy. Kermit disappeared into the house. I'm coming too, Andy called after him. She turned back to Evan. I can try to clean up some of the lab while Kermit mixes the liquid. If Kermit's mom gets home and sees
the basement, you'll be in big trouble.
Oh, sorry. Deep Trouble is the book that I felt warranted using that voice, but never mind.
Evan let out a weak laugh.
Big Trouble. Oh, very funny. Andrea, you're a riot.
Don't call me Andrea, you big oaf. She shot back, ignoring his sarcasm. He watched her hurry into the house. Dogface got tired of sniffing the blue bottle. The sheepdog lumbered across the yard to inspect the fence that Evan had knocked down earlier. Evan sighed. I wonder if my own dog will recognize me now, he thought. Trigger, Evan's cocker spaniel, had been the first to eat monster blood in Monster Blood 1, which I think was just called Monster Blood. The dog had grown bigger than a horse. I wonder if Trigger ever has nightmares about that, Evan asked himself. He knew he'd be having nightmares about today for a long time to come. He glanced at his watch. Almost dinner time. His parents would be getting home soon, and Kermit's mom would be pulling up to the driveway any minute. Wow.
She'll be surprised when she sees me,
Evan exclaimed out loud. EOL. Okay, you know, learn the internet language. He turned to the house to see Kermit step out. He was carrying a fresh bottle of blue liquid. It's probably just Curacao. See? No problem, Kermit declared. Evan carefully took the bottle from Kermit's hand. Andy walked over, her eyes raised to Evan's. Go ahead, rub it all over, she urged. Hurry, take off your clothes. Let me see your giant dong. Evan carefully poured a puddle of blue liquid into his palm. Then he rubbed it onto his cheeks, his forehead, his neck, as if he was Tobias Funke. He poured more into his hand. He rubbed blue liquid onto his arms. Then he raised his t-shirt and rubbed some on his chest sensually. Please let it work, he prayed silently. Please let it work. And he turned to Andy and Kermit. See any change? Chapter number 25. Andy's mouth dropped open. Kermit's eyes bulged. And he uttered a choking sound.
Franklin, don't bite yourself.
Well, Evan demanded eagerly. Do you see any change? Do you?
Do you?
Sorry.
Well, Kermit sputtered. You turned blue, Andy cried. I get it, they're becoming teenagers and getting depressed. That's part of life.
Excuse me?
Evan demanded. He knew he hadn't heard her correctly. Your skin, it's bright blue.
Oh, the Tobias Funke thing was more accurate than I thought.
Andy wailed, pressing her hands against her cheeks.
My what?
Evan shrieked.
You mean hic?
A powerful hiccup made his entire body shake. Evan stared down at his hands.
They're blue,
he cried.
Hic!
Another hiccup burst from his open mouth. His enormous body shook as if struck by an earthquake. Frantically, he pulled up the t-shirt and stared at his stomach.
his blue stomach, his arms, his chest, all blue, bright blue.
Heck, I don't believe it.
Evan screamed, why don't you believe that you're blue from rubbing blue shit all over your body? When we were kids, we used to dye our hair with Kool-Aid and vinegar. I rubbed, you know, green shit in my hair became green. That's not surprising.
I'm blue! I'm bright blue, and hic, I've got the hiccups!
He glared down furiously at Kermit. Kermit was so frightened, his legs trembled, his knees actually knocked together. I can fix it, he called up to Evan. No problem. I just mixed it up wrong. I'll be right back with another mixture. He ran to the house. At the screen door, he turned back to Evan. Don't go anywhere, okay? Evan let out a furious roar.
Growl.
Oh, interrupted by deafening hiccup. I feel like I'm going to give myself hiccups by doing that. I'm kind of worried about that. Maybe I'll just say hic now.
Where can I go? He shrieked to the top of his lungs. Where can I hic go?
The door slammed behind Kermit. Evan let out another roar.
Roar, hic, roar.
Clenching his blue fists and shaking his blue arms over his head, he paced back and forth in the driveway, hiccuping every few seconds. Try to calm down a little, Andy called up to him. People will hear you.
I can't calm down, Evan complained bitterly. Look at me.
But the neighbors will hear you, or see you, Andy warned. They'll call the police. Evan replied with a hiccup that nearly knocked him off his feet.
Hic.
Kermit came running out of the house. He raised another bottle of blue liquid to Evan. Here, try this.
Hic.
Evan declared. He grasped the bottle in his blue hand. Without saying another word, he turned the bottle upside down. With quick, frantic motions, he splashed the blue liquid all over him as if he had fallen into a porta potty. Over his cheeks, his forehead, his hands, and his arms, his chest. He rolled up his jeans and rubbed the mixture onto his knees and legs. He pulled off his socks and sneakers and smoothed the blue liquid over his ankles and feet.
It's got to work, he cried. This time it's got to.
Andy and Kermit stared at him eagerly. They waited. Evan waited. Dune waited. Nothing happened. No change at all. Then Evan began to feel it.
I'm feeling this.
Hey, I'm tingling. I'm feeling this, he announced happily. I'm feeling this.
He felt the same electric tingling he felt before, the itching feeling he had every time he was about to grow a little.
Yes, Evan cheered. I'm feeling this, yes.
The tingling grew sharper, stronger as it spread over his entire body.
It's working. I can hic feel it, Evan shouted. It's really working. I'm tingling. I'm itching. I can feel it. It's working. I'm feeling this.
No, it isn't, Andy murmured quietly.
Chapter 26. I'm out of beer, but I'm gonna keep going. Huh?
Evan narrowed his eyes at her. The tingling became a violent itch. He started to scratch. He pulled back his hand because his skin felt so strange. It didn't work, Andy said sadly, her voice trembling.
Yuck, he looks so gross, Kermit declared, making a disgusted face.
Huh? Hick?
Evan replied. He uttered a horrified gasp as he stared at his arms.
Feathers?
He stammered in a high, shrill voice. Oh, that boy done got tarred and feathered like a smurf. He checked out his arms, his stomach, his legs.
No!
A long, low wail burst from his chest like Darth Vader. His entire body was covered in fluffy, white feathers.
No, Hick, no!
I'm so sorry, Kermit said, shaking his head. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I thought the mixture was right this time.
You look like a big eagle, Andy commented, except eagles aren't blue.
Hic,
Evan cried.
And eagles don't get hiccups, Andy added.
She gazed up at him with concern.
Poor Evan, that must itch like brazy.
You're having a real bad day. They should call this Evan and his hic real bad day. Just kidding, they shouldn't call it that. They should call it Monster Blood 3. So you know it's the third one in the Monster Blood series of books.
Evan frantically scratched his feathery chest.
It can't get any worse than this, he muttered.
And then he saw a police car pull up in front of the house.
Oh, it's always worse when cops get there. Chapter
I still feel like this is the longest episode ever, even though it isn't, and I switched back to cocktails because I need to get through this. 27.
Hick, Evan cried. He backed off the driveway and crouched low against the back wall of the house.
The police,
he whispered. His throat tightened in panic. His feathers all stood up on end.
What should I do?
He asked himself, pressed against the house, ducking his head.
Should I run or should I give myself up?
One more try, Kermit cried, leaping into the house. Let me try one more mixture. I think I can get it this time. By the way, he is possibly the greatest scientist of all time, right? He can give someone feathers or dye them blue. Like, if someone had something where you could safely dye yourself blue, people would do it all the fucking time. You know, every fucker in Coachella would just be walking around smurfing. The door slammed behind him. Hurry! Andy called from the driveway. The police! They're coming out of their car!
How many are there?
Evan whispered. His feathers itched, but he was too frightened to scratch.
Two,
Andy replied, staring through the gray evening light to the street. They look kind of mean. A sudden cool gust of wind ruffled Evan's feathers. His huge body trembled.
They're walking up the driveway,
Andy reported. They're going to be here in a few seconds.
I'd better make a run for it,
Evan declared. He took one step away from the house and nearly fell. It was hard to run when your feet were covered with stiff, prickly feathers. His entire body itched. He pressed himself against the house again.
I'm doomed, he murmured to himself.
They stopped to check out the front door, Andy told him. You've still got a few seconds. Hurry, Kermit, hurry,
Evan urged.
Hurry, Kermit, hurry.
He turned to the kitchen door. No sign of Kermit. Would Kermit get the mixture right this time? Could he get the mixture to Evan before the two police officers entered the backyard? The screen door opened. Kermit burst out. He tripped on the back step. The blue bottle nearly went flying like glacier ice Gatorade.
Wait, isn't that the white one? Fuck, I don't know.
Damn it, I don't know my Gatorade colors. I'll never be able to join varsity. He caught his balance. He handed the bottle up to Evan. Good luck, Kermit called to Evan. Kermit raised both hands. He had his fingers tightly crossed on both hands.
Here come the police, Andy warned. They're walking fast now.
The bottle trembled in Evan's hand. He turned it upside down. It puddled in his enormous feathery palm.
That's from beating off too much. That has nothing to do with the formulas.
Frantically, he began rubbing it over his feathers, over his blue skin, splashing it wildly, pouring it all over his body. Please work, he silently urged. Please work. He waited. Kermit stared up at him, hopefully, his fingers still crossed.
They're here, Andy reported from the driveway.
Evan gulped. The mixture hadn't worked. He hadn't changed it, not a bit. The two uniformed officers approached the back of the house.
Hello there, one of them called to Andy.
Chapter number 28.
Evan heard a loud pop.
I tried to do that thing where you'll... That's what I tried to do, but it didn't sound well the first time. Doesn't matter.
He uttered a startled cry as he felt himself falling to the ground. He reached out a hand and had steadied himself against the house. It took him a second or two to realize that he hadn't fallen. He had shrunk. Like Grandpa Simpson. The two officers stepped into the backyard. One very tall, the other was short and plump.
Sorry to bother you, kids, the tall one said, but we got a call from a neighbor.
A call?
About what? Andy demanded, already good at talking to cops.
She cast a surprised glance at Evan. She didn't expect to see him back to normal.
Did you kids see a giant in the neighborhood?
The short officer asked. He narrowed his eyes at them, trying to appear tough.
A giant? What kind of giant?
Kermit asked innocently. An Andre giant?
An iron giant? A giant pizza king? What kind of giant?
A giant kid, the short officer replied. Evan, Andy, and Kermit shook their heads.
He didn't come back here,
Andy told them.
Nah, we didn't see shit, Evan said.
He couldn't keep a smile from crossing his face. His voice was back to normal, too. The tall officer pushed his cap back on his head.
Well, if you see him, be careful, he warned. He's dangerous. He's very dangerous.
the short officer added. Call us right away, okay?
Okay, all three kids replied in unison.
The officers gave the backyard one last look, then they turned and headed back down the driveway to their car. As soon as they were gone, Evan burst out into a long, happy cheer.
Yay! All right! Woo! That sounds great! All right! Fantastic! I'm not giant anymore!
Andy and Kermit joined in.
Yeah, well, you aren't giant. Good job at not being giant anymore. Wow, Kermit really came through.
Clapping him joyfully on the back, slapping high fives all around. Am I a genius or what? Kermit demanded, grinning his toothy grin.
Or what? Evan joked.
What the fuck are you talking about? Why are you still being an asshole to your cousin?
There's a horse going by my house. That's cool. But,
The cousin's a little kid, and he acts like an asshole like little kids do, so what?
And you brought the monster blood to fuck with him. It made you giant, which is what it does. You got it in your mouth because you cannot physically stop eating. And then he magically somehow had a shrinking potion he put together after only two failed attempts very quickly. And now you're saying, or what, with him being a genius? He's a fucking genius, asshole.
They were still laughing and celebrating Evan's return to Evan size when Kermit's mom pulled up the driveway. As she climbed out of her car, she appeared surprised to find them outdoors.
Sorry I'm so late, she called, hugging Kermit. How was your afternoon?
Kermit glanced at Evan, then he smiled at his mother.
Oh, it was kind of boring, he told her.
Yeah, kind of boring, Andy repeated.
Kind of boring. Evan agreed. Evan knew he'd have nightmares about what happened to him. And that night, he had a really scary one. In the dream, he was a giant boy being chased by giant rats.
Giant boy, giant boy, giant boy, attacked by giant rats.
That's a subhuman song. The rats all looked like Kermit. Evan sat up in the dark, shivering all at once.
Just a nightmare, he murmured, glancing at his clock radio.
Midnight. It was just a nightmare. He sat up straight, wiping sweat off his forehead with his pajama top sleeve.
I need a glass of cold water, he decided. He started to climb out of bed but stopped when he saw what a steep drop it was to the floor.
Huh? What's going on?
He asked himself. He tried to click on the bed table lamp, but it towered high above him, way beyond his reach, like that old Counter-Strike map, Rats.
When you're in the kitchen and you're small, forget it.
He stood up on the bed, his eyes adjusted to the dim light. He saw that his bed seemed to stretch on forever.
A lump in the bedspread curled up over Evan's head.
I'm short, he realized. I'm as short as a mouse.
Kermit strikes again, Evan thought bitterly.
Yeah, no shit. Wait. He still saved the day. You would have been locked up in some lab getting ripped apart like fucking Alf's nightmare. Should have said E.T., that made more sense.
He made the blue shrinking mixture too powerful.
I shrank and shrank and shrank, and now I'm as tiny as a mouse.
I'll pound Kermit, I really will, Evan cried. His voice came,
I'll pound Kermit, I really will,
Evan cried. His voice came out as tiny as mouse squeaks. Standing on the edge of his bed, staring down miles to the floor, Evan heard a rumbling sound, loud panting that sounded like a strong wind through the trees. A big head popped in front of him, two dark eyes.
No trigger. Go back to sleep.
Evan pleaded in his mouse voice. I did the high voice in the wrong place and the low voice and then, oh God, it's like the, that judging competition where Burns puts in the movie on The Simpsons and he goes, and Krusty goes, yeah, the movie moved me
to a bigger house.
And then he's like, oh, I did that. Yeah, that's what I did. But, you know, whatever.
Evan pleaded in his little mouse voice,
no, trigger down.
Evan's squeaks had awakened the Cocker Spaniel. Evan felt the dog's hot breath blow across his face.
Yuck, dog breath. He squeaked.
Then he felt sharp teeth close around his waist, felt himself tilted sideways, felt the hot, wet saliva of Trigger's mouth as the dog secured Evan between its teeth.
Trigger down! Put me down!
Evan begged. He was bounced hard now. The dog teeth tightened their grip.
Trigger, put me down! Where are you taking me?
through the dark hallway, the hot breath blowing over Evan's helpless body, into his parents' room. Evan gazed up to see his mom and dad getting ready for bed. They're probably gonna do it. Mr. Ross leaned over the dog.
What you got there, Trigger? Did you find a bone?
Dad? Dad?
Evan squeaked up at him.
Dad, it's me! Do you see me? Dad, I think we have a little problem.
And so actually ends part two of Monster Blood 3 by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune. The music for this show was made by Dusty Best, based off the theme from the Goosebumps TV series. I still have no idea what's going on in my life, but I'm trudging on, you know? I'm as stressed out as I am, I'm happy, you know? Things are good, and they're getting better. It was just a weird year all around, you know? I don't know. But I'm trudging along, you know? I got friends and family and a good relationship and everything. Everything's cool. Yeah, I'm just gonna try to figure out how to get a fucking car, am I right? I don't know. This one I need to, start editing this down and then upload it and then Photoshop a picture and then put it up and call it a day. That's what I'm gonna do right now. Alright, love y'all. Stay spooky, bitches.